The gospel today declares Jesus loved Martha and Mary, her sister, and their brother Lazarus. What a golden statement. We're told so much about Jesus and his personal friendships. But it also emphasizes how very odd it was that while Lazarus was sick unto death, Jesus camped out a fairly short distance away and didn't go to heal his friend. Messages arrived calling for him, an easy journey, but no, he waits. His reason? This illness is not going to end in death, he says. Well, how could he say that? The illness of Lazarus led directly to death. Well, I think Jesus is making a point about life, real life. The point of God becoming incarnate was so that we might have abundant life, not just a dreary existence. So the difference with real life is that it is something you can have only because you are rooted in love. So Jesus had to wait before going to Bethany. When Lazarus did die and had been in the tomb for 4 days, Jesus finally decided to go down to Bethany. Martha ran to him there, and she quietly went back for Mary, who was so grieved that she wouldn't even leave home. Each in her turn cries out, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw Mary's tears and those of the friends who had gathered, we behold a touching revelation. The famous words that came next are unlike any others in the gospel. We're told Jesus wept. His tears make Mary and Martha's question even more poignant. "You love us and you loved him. Why didn't you come and cure him before he died?" I know I have, and I think many of us ask God that very same question when one of our loved ones dies. But when Jesus does things like this, that seem out of place or out of character, it means we need to pay special attention to it because he's trying to tell us a very deep truth. He's telling us in these actions that he understands how difficult life, love, and death are for us to comprehend. He's tried to reveal them even in his own flesh, but of course, any example can be ambiguous. Not only life, but also death and even sorrow are given within God's gentle love. They're like flowers pushing up from the earth. The ground from which they push is God's kind and deep care. Even life gets its being from God's love. Even death gets its life from God's love. At this point, you and I, startled, interrupt and say, "Wait, how can death receive life? Death is the end of life. What are you talking about?" Jesus seems to reply that there are many beautiful plants and trees that come forth from God's earth. Life is surely one of them, he says, but death is too, and suffering as well. "Let me show you," he says. He calls out in a loud voice, calls into the soil of God's love where Lazarus' soul is held tight. From this womb of love, death gestates into life. Out of the tomb, he walks. It's as if Jesus says to us, "You always think of love as what you have because you have life, but the opposite is true. Real life is something you can have only because you are rooted in love." That is the reason I delayed going to Bethany. Death does not erase love. It brings you more deeply back into it, to the place you came from, the rich loam of love. Jesus loved Martha, Mary, Lazarus, and you and me. And because of that love, we can know life, not just existence. We're not slaves on a ball of mud in a galaxy somewhere. We are sons and daughters of the one who created the visible and the invisible. We are invited into a relationship with that one who creates life and who wishes to give it to us in abundance. The hard part for us is patiently accepting it, even at those times when we don't get it, when we don't understand, when we're confused, when we're at the deathbed of our loved ones. So may Martha and Mary be role models for us, who with such simple dependence believed and proclaimed that even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Simple dependence. It sounds so easy, but it never is. Let's pray in our Eucharist for the gifts we need to follow him, especially in the rough times in our lives.